Our readings from Psalms, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to see you here this morning. Beautiful day. We ought to be doing this out on the front porch. Yeah. The humidity's down. The sun's out. But the sound system's in here. The TVs are in here. You know, what are you going to do, right? Technology sometimes pins us down. Before we get started this morning, I wanted to introduce Bobby Lawrence. Bobby, if you want to come on up. Bobby and his wife Megan head up Anchor Ministries. I've mentioned them to you many times here from the pulpit, and we've been praying together and seeking the Lord for the community. And with this COVID thing, a lot of the ministry that they've been involved in has been kind of shut down, but the Lord's opening up other avenues and other doors for them to minister way beyond Cartersville, and he can share a little bit about that with you. He's going to take a few minutes and just give us kind of an idea, a little bit about his testimony, a little bit about what's going on here in the community, and how we feel like God is directing. And we just feel, you know, ever since I met Bobby, I met him through a group of men that pray together on a Friday morning over at the Bartow Baptist Association. And it's just been God is just bringing us together to pray together, to just see what the Lord wants to do and how we can be more effective in the community. So, Bobby, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you like to wander a lot, but we got a stationary mic, so, you know, if you get to wander too far, just take off with it, you know. But if you get Pentecostal on us, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I can talk loud.
Well, I appreciate it, Pastor. I really enjoy being here this morning. Like King Henry VIII said to his fifth wife, I promise you, I won't keep you long. I was thinking about Psalms 92. It talks about the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Have you ever thought about a palm tree? It can almost grow in any climate. Any terrain, it'll grow. It always seems to flourish. It can even on the mountains and in the snow, a palm tree can flourish. It'll spring up in the desert, and other palm trees spring up out of its roots, and it can create an oasis in the middle of the desert. It says the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You know, a palm tree has over 400 uses. Did you know that? It's useful from its very last sprig of its root all the way to the last palm. They make oils out of it, soaps, all kinds of different things. The palm tree is useful. And the Bible says this too, that in Psalms 37 it says the wicked are like a bay tree. You know what a bay trees were? They grow around here really, really tall. And they real green and bushy and real tall. And it drowns out all the sunlight beneath it. And it kills everything. It also pulls the moisture out of the soil and it kills everything around it. You can't cut it. It won't burn. Some egghead figured it out, throw it in spaghetti, a leaf of it in spaghetti for some reason. But it's really worthless. And Psalms 37 says, the wicked are like a bay tree, but the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree in Psalms 92. And I really thought about that. Yeah, I've been like a bay tree before. Worthless. Didn't do anything for the kingdom. Even when I thought I was doing something for the kingdom, I really wasn't doing a lot for the kingdom. And I saw that scripture years ago about the palm tree, and I really got to studying about the palm tree. I won't get into a lot of stuff, but about 4 years ago, my wife and I, we lost everything we owned. I'm from Warner Robins, Georgia. I was a successful builder, pastor of a church down there. I ended up totally, we basically were about homeless. God just about had to break us to bring us to Cartersville. I struggled, didn't want to come to Cartersville. I came up here. We're living in a leaky camper. This friend of mine says, "Hey, Bobby, let's go borrow a tent and put it up behind the Efficiency Lodge." And we went back there. Back then, it was the worst drug effect infested area in Bartow County. It's where all the drug addicts and dealers, most heroin addicts, say you'd first time there, put a needle in their arm was there. We put a tent up behind there. A guy gave me a 50-pound box of hamburger and a 50-pound box of chicken, and we did a four-day event. And the first night, we had about 15 people got saved. And they were threatening to kill us, all kinds of stuff. I've been preaching on the streets in Macon, Georgia for 5 years, no results. I learned a lot, but no results. But here we were seeing the fruit of this event that we did. My friend, he left and went to Texas to Revive Texas, and I just wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. And I said, "God, if you want me to keep doing this, I need a tent." Within that week, a friend of mine called me. He said, "Hey, Bobby," he said, "could you use a tent?" He got one three times the size of the ones that we borrowed. I'm leaving a lot of stuff out, but I was like, well, this is proof God wants me to do this, keep doing it. So I planned another event a month away, and the manager at Kroger says, "Hey, you can come get whatever you need. We're moving to the new store. Y'all can go through and get all the stuff out of there and everything." And I said, okay. And then one of the pastors had 150 chairs. I needed 200. And he said he'd give me, loan me 150 chairs. Well, end up, about a week before the event, he calls me. He had a funeral. He said, "Bobby, I'm going to need my chairs." "Hey, I didn't mean to put you to sleep." No, I'm just messing with you. I'm just joking with you. I put myself to sleep. But the week of the event, the pastor called me, had a funeral. He said, "Bobby, I'm not going to be able to loan you the chairs." So I get to praying, and I said, "God, I need 200 chairs." I get up off my knees, and my phone rang, and it was a pastor. I never even heard of this man before. And he said, "Bobby, my name's Mike Buckfield at Co Baptist Church, and he said, I want to know if you could use some chairs." And I said, "Yes, sir, I could use some chairs." He said, "I tell you what, if you promise me that you'll come get them and never bring them back to me, I'll let you have them." So I'm thinking they're junk. I get over there, there's 200 brand new chairs. Didn't even look like they'd been sitting in. I thought, okay, well, this is more proof God wants me to do this. So we got within a couple of days of the event. A bunch of us go down there to Kroger's. We've got a list of everything we need. I talked to the manager. He said, "Look, just go through, get everything that you need, meet me at the cashier register." I said, "Okay." So we go through, and we're getting everything we need. We load up 5 baskets. We get to the cash register, and he meets us up there and gives us $50 off. I ain't got no money. I'm like, "Well, this is not what you told me." "Well, things changed." And I thought, well, doggone. So anyway, we ended up getting together praying again. We was at James Black's bookstore over on Tennessee Street. A few of us were praying. And we were praying, "God, we need the loaves and the fishes." I mean, we were wanting to do like spaghetti, so we needed French bread. We had hamburgers. We was going to do about 400 hamburgers, 400 hot dogs, and everything. So we were praying. And all of a sudden, the phone rings. James Black answers the phone, and it's one of the guys that goes to his church. And he said, "Hey, Bobby, you might want to take this phone." I answered the phone, and he said, "Hey, my name is Mike." And he said, "I have a bread ministry." And he said, "Could you use some bread? Pastor Mike said Black said you might need some." I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." He said, "Well, I tell you what, if you'll meet me at his church in 30 minutes, I'll give you what I got." I didn't ask. I just said, "Whatever you got, I'll take." I get down there to James Black's church. He has 400 hamburger buns, 400 hot dog buns. Then he has these 4 boxes that are about this big. And you open up the boxes, and there were bags of those goldfish. The little goldfish crackers, the loaves and the fishes. I said, "Man, I guess God really wants me to do this thing." And that's kind of how Anchor Ministries really got birth here. We've seen over 140 people come to Christ in that one motel. We prayed the manager that was here out. They brought in a Christian manager from Columbus. She started working with us. We do a weekly Bible study over there. It kind of got me kicked out of a church because we walked into a church with 140 people, and it kind of overwhelmed them. But we were praying for revival, so it walked in the door. We just wasn't ready for revival. And, I mean, I could go on. We've done so many different events since then. I don't know if any of you ever went under the Church Street Bridge. We do really good music. We're doing a fish fry. I learned to get away from the hot dogs and the hamburgers, and we started doing fish fry. I can do fish cheaper than I can do hot dogs. And we'll try to do really good food. Well, we've had times, Halloween night 2 years ago, we did an event, and these kids started showing up in Halloween costumes. I had even pastors say, "Bobby, I ain't sure about this. Maybe you ought to tell them to leave." And I'm like, "No, let's go ahead and share the gospel." There's nothing like seeing these little goblins coming down and getting saved. We had over 1,000 people there, and I tell you, our music's kind of edgy. It's a little bit different. We got a 68-year-old white guy that's a rapper, and man, he blows everybody away, all this different kind of stuff. But you hardly even had to preach the message. The Holy Spirit just settled over that place. And we had, I think, 78 people come down that night and got saved. And, of course, we had the opposition, too. It usually comes from within the body. People are like, "Oh." So a lot of different warfare comes with that kind of stuff. And, you know, here we are, the building. I've been praying around the city. I walk not because I'm spiritual. I walk because I got COPD and can't afford the medicine. It's like $600 a month. So I started walking. Well, when I'm walking, I'm praying. And I'm seeking God. And I get up at 4 o'clock every morning and I walk the city because it's cooler that time of the morning. And that's the only way I can breathe. But God's kind of healed me through that. But he also started speaking to me through that differently. And I've gotten to where I listen more than talk. And I just started reacting to what he would tell me. I would just start doing those things that he would say do. And then he would just breathe on it. And it's not that I'm the smartest. I got an 8th grade education. I couldn't read till I was 22 years old. I learned how to read using the Bible. That's how I learned how to read. So I thought, you know, while I'm walking through the city and all these things, and God would say, "Do this," and do this building that we have over here on Stonewall Street. I'm like, "God, we can't even afford rent. I live in the worst part of town." You know what I'm saying? We can't, but somehow he's taking care of this building. And we have pastors come and pray with us and different things like this. And it's given us a commercial kitchen. So we're able to cook for a lot of people. And then the strangest thing is, you know, a TV show falls in our lap. And started back in June the 2nd, our first show came on. And it's over a billion homes worldwide. If you got a cell phone, you can watch our show every Tuesday night at 8:30. It's Anchor TV. I got a face for radio. Are you hearing me? But, you know, I'll go too long, so I want to cut it kind of short. But, you know what? Here's the deal. God's called us all to do something. You know, we're not seat warmers. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. We're supposed to be useful. Now, there's a couple different things you can do. You can go out, whatever you think God, and this is what I found out. Sometimes my curiosity drives me in a direction God wants me to go. Just like under the bridge, my curiosity. And when I said mentioned to the city about doing something under the bridge, whoa, no. Boy, they wanted me to jump through all these hurdles and all this kind of stuff and blah, 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 blah. By the time it was over with, they were willing to almost pay me to do it. So many times like that, your imagination sometimes can drive you towards what God wants you to do. But it comes with a cost. It's going to cost you everything to serve God wholeheartedly. It costs you everything. It comes with scars, and you'll get attacked by people you wouldn't think would attack you. And it's not the loss that'll attack you. It's your own Christian brothers and sisters that'll get you. And that's one way to do it. It's going to cost you everything. But boy, it's worth it. When it's all said and done, you can say, man, look what God done. He'll give you a testimony. I can sit here and talk to you for hours about what God's done in my life. So there's one way to do it. And then there's another way to do it that won't cost you as much. But if you find where God's working, and you know that you know that you know He's working there, just join in. You don't try to take over. You join in, bring your talent, whatever you got. Sometimes people might not even listen to you at first. But if you know God's working there, you join in and you help with everything you got. And God will bless you and take care of you. And sometimes that one's a little easier than doing your own thing sometimes. But the whole thing is, God's called us to do stuff. I believe revival is going to come because of prayer. But one other part to the prayer part is we got to go do something. A lot of times we scream out, oh, God, you do this, and God, you do that. And He said, you go do it. But God, I like watching TV. You see what I'm saying? You want to come on, Pastor? I'll keep rambling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I like what you're saying.
So I appreciate it, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you for coming up, Bobby. I want you guys to pray with us because in our prayer time, I don't get up at 4 o'clock every morning. There are just some things that God hadn't broken in me yet, so I'm still struggling with that 4 o'clock thing. But I go over when I can and pray with them. They call it the hub. It used to be, was it Noel's or Nola's? Yeah, Baker, right off Stonewall. Well, she's not there now, and that's the building that God gave them, and they've got a full kitchen in there, a commercial kitchen. And so it's going to be, He's offered that to anybody who wants to use it. And they're using it, and other people will be coming in to use it. So as we move forward in outreach, I see us doing some things together. And next Saturday, are you still thinking that's going to happen? Or
if we can get to 10 of
them. Okay. He lives over here off of Current Street, which is not probably 2 or 3 blocks away from us here. And he puts up a tent out there right there in his yard and ministers to his neighborhood. And feeds everybody in his neighborhood. So if he can get the tent up, they're going to do that next Saturday. I'll give you more details on the time of that if anybody wants to help. If you can't come over there, maybe we can come meet over here at the hub and start doing some cooking and getting stuff prepared for it, things like that, so that they can have things ready for them out there. So that's going to either be this Saturday or the next Saturday. He's also got a luncheon for a lot of the churches, for particularly the black churches here in Cartersville. We're doing it over, is it Mount Olive?
Greater Mount Olive. It's for the pastors. We're doing a fish fry for the pastors.
Okay. And that's on Wednesday. So I want to try to be over there to be a part of that and help minister to the people. There's a lot of turmoil, as we know. We've seen a lot of turmoil all around Atlanta. We've seen it around the whole country. There are protests all around the world right now for different reasons and different things. But one thing that we really want to do is we want to be a part of the healing, not a part of the problem. And in order to be part of the healing, there's the prayer, but there's the reaching out. And this is one way that we're going to be doing that, is reaching out into that church, reaching out into the community. We're praying for dialogue. We're praying for conversation. And we're praying that as we move into this, it is a spiritual war. The whole thing going on in our country right now, it's spiritual warfare, and we have to be looking at it from that perspective. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and wickedness in heavenly places. And so there's a feed that's in a narrative and rhetoric that's being spoken, and we need to be praying that that rhetoric is broken and that healing can take place by just loving each other and starting at that point and letting God do the work. But we've got to be willing to say, here am I, send me. And so that's what we've been praying for. Last Thursday, there was a group. It's some younger people. They call themselves The Hill. They worship on a hill in the backyard of one of the house up here off of Mac Johnson Road. And it was really interesting because we've been praying for a way to go out in the community. Well, one of the guys that prays with us reached out to them, and they were already going to be up at the courthouse. They came up and set up a PA system at the courthouse last Sunday, the old courthouse, had a PA system on the stairs, and brought probably about, 50, 60 people, something like that came. A lot of them, they all knew. And they worshiped and they prayed and everything. I don't really believe that's the group that we're going to be affiliated with. Just, I think, some doctrinally and things like that, where they may go a little extreme on some things, but that type of thing is what we really want to do. We want to be available to the community to minister to them and to love on them and preach the gospel. Not necessarily preach, just love the gospel. One thing Bobby has told me about a lot of the tent gatherings that he puts on, he feeds the people and just sits and listens to the people. You'd be surprised as to how many people will open up in their life if you just sit and just engage with them and not beat them over the head with the gospel necessarily, but the gospel comes out as you're praying. And sometimes they'll let you pray with them. And the one time that we had the opportunity, I think probably about four of us in the room were able to go and at the one he had in December behind the Efficiency Lodge, and those people came and they stayed. They stayed for dinner. They stayed for Wes to get up and speak, and that was an interesting night. It came up really quick. Bobby was so sick he couldn't even hardly stand up. And Wes had laryngitis, you could barely hear him, but he got up there and preached and spoke to the people. Then he broke everybody up into prayer groups. And we all got together, and each one of us kind of went and got into a different group of people, and they were praying. We didn't have to do anything but be available. And it was a good time. And so I just want you to be praying that as we move forward, that God gives us direction, the wisdom, and encourages us to say, here am I, send me, let's get out and let's do something. Because we've been praying, and I believe Bobby hit it on the head. He said, yeah, you've been praying for me to do something. Well, I'm doing it. I'm giving you opportunity, and it may be opportunity we're not used to. It may be opportunity that we never have done before, but it's opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit, to say yes, and then go, and that's what we're all called to do. It doesn't matter what your talent is. It can be used, and so keep that in mind as we move forward into where God is calling us to do, because I really do believe we're going to be doing a lot more outreach than we've ever done the rest of this year. And now that COVID is starting to be lifted, the restrictions are being lifted a lot, we're going to take advantage of that time, and we're going to be out there and doing different things. So, with that said, I'm going to move quickly. Right. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, if you open to Matthew 6. Our title this morning and our message is sincerity, not show. Sincerity, not show. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning through your word. We ask that your Spirit write your word upon our heart. Teach us your ways. Teach us your plan. And let us, Lord, walk it out. Let us not just hear it and let it be gone, but let us hear it, meditate on it, chew upon it, and digest it and apply it. That's our prayer, Lord. So speak to us this morning, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've been going through our study in Matthew, we come to chapter 6, and as we get further into the teaching of Jesus, he begins to show us how we're to represent our faith among others. He's beginning to show us that the practical ways that you're to live your Christian life among others. And everything that we've learned up to this point has been about humility, and it continues to be about humility. It continues to come to the point where we're not looking at ourselves, but we're looking to God. We're looking at Him, and we're loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which gives us the ability to love the others. And basically, without humility, our hearts can't be changed to be more like Him, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to imitate Christ, be more like Him. But if our flesh is in the way, and we're not dying to ourselves, then we're just a stumbling block. We're not effective in our walk. We saw in the teaching of salt and light, we saw in the teaching of the Sabbath and adultery and marriage, it all comes down to the attitude of the heart. And this week, we're going to see how we're to continue to walk in humility in public display regarding how we represent ourselves in prayer time, how we represent ourselves in giving, in charitable times. And so we're going to begin with verse 1 here in Matthew chapter 6. We read, "Take heed that you do not that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, charitable deeds include helping others or giving to others or giving to the church. All of these fall under the charitable deeds here. And they're a wonderful thing. In this dark world that we live in, it's a wonderful thing to hear testimonies of those who have had prayer answered or needs met by the hand of others, by the hand of God. God will, as Bobby even shared, you know, he needed a need, got the phone rang. Somebody said, hey, I got this. Do you need it? Yeah, we need it. Those are the way things are supposed to work in the charitable realm. But we shouldn't be hearing these things firsthand from the one who did them. We should be hearing them from the one that received them. And those who observed it happening. To share a good deed that we've done, it feeds our pride in our flesh. It does nothing for the spirit. And there's a local radio station here in town. A lot of you listen to it because it's about the only one. Not here in Cartersville. I'm talking about more in the metro area. It's got a lot of the Christian music, the latest stuff. And they have some good teaching on there. They really don't. I don't think they do any teaching. It's all music. But anyway, they have morning shows and afternoon shows. And they're all feel-good shows. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's this one thing that they do that kind of wears on me a little bit, and they ask people to call in and share how they paid it forward to somebody. In other words, hey, if you've done a good deed today, call and let's sound the trumpet and tell everybody about it. I don't really care for that type of things. I don't think it's a display that is really what we're supposed to do, and it's exactly what Jesus is telling us not to do in our text. I don't want to call a radio show so everybody, thousands of people on the air are going to hear, hey, did you hear what this guy did? He went out and he gave food to the homeless. He went out and he paid for somebody's food in the drive-thru line. He did this, he did that. Well, he's got his reward right there. His reward is over with because he has then decided that he wanted to hear other people give him praises. We're not to blow a trumpet and to get everyone's attention on ourselves. And a radio station is a trumpet. And it just blasts out to whoever's listening. And why should we announce to others how we paid for somebody else's food? Or how we paid somebody's grocery bills? These deeds are wonderful deeds, and if you're being led by the Spirit, you should follow through and do them. But we need to keep them between ourselves and God. We need to keep them between ourselves and God. And God uses people in the kingdom. He uses some for prayer. He uses some for helps ministry. He uses others for charitable giving. He has the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he pours out as he sees fit. He pours out the Holy Spirit. The gifts come as they're needed, not because somebody wants a gift and because they have a gift. It's not theirs anyway. It's God's gift in them. Holy Spirit applies it, Holy Spirit uses it, and you may never see that gift again. But if the Holy Spirit's using you with that gift, you're to use that and allow it to happen as the power of the Holy Spirit works through you and in you. And it blesses me to have somebody come up to me and they'll hand me a gift card or they'll hand me money and they'll say, will you give this to somebody specifically that the Lord laid on their heart? And I said, but don't bring my name up. I don't want anybody to know who it is. That's humility. They're being obedient to what God called them to do. They're taking the word of God. They're applying it in their lives. The Holy Spirit said, I'd like you to do this. They do it, and it's done. There's no follow-up. There's no bring them up on Sunday and pat them on the back. There's no note sent out or email sent out about these things. It's all between us and the Lord. This is humility, and this is sincerity, not show. That's what it's supposed to be about. Now, James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It doesn't say, lift yourself up. If you do that, he will let you fall. I'd rather be humble before men and be lifted up by the Lord than the other way around. Now, I know today it's all about our culture. It's all about me. If you look at this whole aspect of the me generation, it's penetrated every aspect of our lives, including the church. MySpace, which has come and gone. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. And there's probably other ones now that I'm unaware of that are coming on. They all give us the opportunity to speak our minds. And you can pretty much go to any of these places and see one of two things, and usually both of these two things. First, it's either look at me. Look at what I do. Look at where I go. Look at what I eat. Look at what I don't like. And you see all of these things, it's all about me. It's all about what I've done. What this and all these clicks, you know. Oh, look at where I've been. You know, that's the culture that we live in. And I remember when all we used to have was bumper stickers that told what we thought and what we believed. Now we got that too, but we still have all this other going on. The other thing that you'll hear is angry rants about politics or religion. Now there's positive things on Facebook. I'm not saying it's all evil, but it has been hijacked, as most things are, and the culture is using it for their good, not for the good of others. This attitude of look at me has serious spiritual repercussions. We begin to get into the works mode, the mental aspect of though we're doing these charitable deeds, it earns us points with God. So we want to do this and we want to do that, and we go out and we look good. But Scripture clearly tells us when we don't have our relationship with the Lord intact, our neighborly deeds, while generous, don't mean anything to the Lord. He doesn't need you to do those things. He should be the one directing them through you, not you doing them so he'll notice you. Believe me, he notices you. His eyes upon you. If his eyes upon the sparrow, his eyes are upon you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your motivations. And you're not earning any points when you decide you're going to go out and do something for God. What you're supposed to do is say, God, let me spend this time with you. Let me be in relationship with you. Let me know your will for my life. And as he directs you, then you walk in obedience. And you go out and you apply those things that he's given you to do. But Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But those are good things. Those are good things people are doing. They don't know Jesus. It's all about the relationship. Now, I don't want to leave you with the thought that all works are worthless, because that's not true. When the Lord gives you a vision, when the Lord gives you something that he wants you to do, then our works are out of obedience, not out of self-motivated practices. And when we walk in obedience, it's the Spirit that's doing the work anyway. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm just so tired. I just want to quit the ministry. I'm just too tired. Well, rather than quitting ministry, maybe you need to take a break, come back before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to do this ministry on my own. And you will burn out on your own. If you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit doing the work through you, your flesh, your actions, your desires cannot sustain what God wants to do. It will burn flat out. It'll be done. And next thing you know, that person's never to be seen again because they were in works of the flesh, not in obedience to the Spirit. And the Spirit will do it through us, and he will accomplish all that he wants to accomplish. So in essence, it's not the works that are done that God wants from us, but it's the obedience to the Father's will and to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work through us. It's here that we know when we see Jesus face to face, we're going to hear these words in Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Now, those are the words that you want to hear from Jesus. Those are the words you want to hear from Jesus. Not that, "Hey, all that stuff looked good, but away from me, I never knew you." Jesus takes us to an even more personal level when he moves into prayer. In verses 5 through 7, we read, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Prayer is really nothing more than an opportunity to have a conversation with God. That's what it is. It's a conversation with God. And prayer is a primary part of worship. Prayer is a primary part of our relationship with God. And what better way to worship and glorify God than to call upon Him? In your prayer closet, in your time with Him, call upon Him, recognizing that He's the only one that hears our prayers, and He's the only one that will answer the prayers, and He will answer them for our better good. "Well, I've been praying for a month, and God hadn't answered my prayer." Well, maybe there's a couple of things going on there. Number one, remember Daniel. He prayed, and God sent the angel, and he had to battle Satan for 21 days before he actually got to answer the prayer. But he was on his way. He was sent immediately. That's one aspect of spiritual warfare. When we pray, God is moving, but there are forces that are coming in between and against. God will prevail, but it may not happen immediately. The second thing is that maybe what you're praying is not in the will of God. "Oh, Pastor, you can't say that. I have a relationship with God. I mean, if I pray for this and I pray for that, isn't it all good?" Not necessarily. Our prayer should be coming first and foremost in praise and worship to Him, and we're going to get into that next week. We're going to break down the Lord's Prayer, that it's been called. We're going to get into that, and we're going to discuss it and break it down. But what we're talking about this morning is just the aspect of our presence with God. And the presence with Him should be all about thankfulness. It should be about praise. It should be about glorifying His name and lifting Him up. And then when we get to supplications, our focus is more on Him than ourselves. So our prayers then will or should end up with, "Not my will, but your will be done." That's the way the Spirit wants to move in our lives. So there are sometimes our prayers don't necessarily line up. Is it wrong to pray in certain things? No. If you feel you need to pray, pray. But then listen to hear what the Holy Spirit may be saying. And He may be saying no. He may be saying wait. He may be saying, "I want you to change your direction of prayer." It all comes back to the relationship with God. If we're closer to Him, His desires become our desires. Therefore, our prayers come more in line with what He wants us to pray. And it's something we really need to focus on. He will answer our prayers, but He will answer them in His will and how His will is to be applied in our lives. Now, the Greek word for pray here in our text is prosis. Hold on a second. Let me look at this one. Prosukomahi. Sounds like an Indian, thing in the old cowboy movies. Prosukomahi. To pray to God, that is supplicate, worship. Worship is a key factor when we're praying to God. We're not throwing prayers at Him. We're not talking at God. We're not taking that 5-minute rant in the morning and getting in the car and going to work and then chewing out everybody on the road around you. It's not what prayer is. Prayer is taking time to spend with Him. We're praying to Him. We're praying with Him. We're supplicating. We're pouring out our heart before Him, and we're worshiping Him. And these things need to be present in our prayers. But worship and thankfulness should be two key aspects of any time that we're praying. We're worshiping God in this time. We're communicating with Him. Now, verse 6 says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. And this is where the most effective prayers are offered. And I believe that this is where the most effective prayers are answered. There's no crowd. There's no stage. There's no one watching and listening but the Lord Himself. It's here you can cry out to God. It's here you can laugh with God. It's here you can pour out your heart to God. And there's no pretense. There's no shyness. There's no holding back. And there's no distractions. It's that time between you and the Lord. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, the perfect or the effective fervent prayer that we're talking about is one that is offered from our heart to God's heart without worry about other people and what they're thinking or how we're presenting or how this is going on. And so we need to make sure that our focus is on the Lord during our prayer. In Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we're not a thankful people, why do we even bother to pray? If you're angry and bitter, now let me interject here. You may be wounded, you may be hurting, you may have things going on, and God allows you to vent. So it's okay to vent, but you can't live in that venting place forever. You can't come to God every single prayer and vent and anger and spew and all this stuff. At some point, God is going to stop, and He's going to, if you're listening, He's going to stop you and He's going to say, are you thankful? Are you a thankful person? Do you have a thankful heart? See, thanksgiving is an important part of prayer because we're praying believing that God hears our prayers and we're thankful that He answers our prayers. We're thankful that He hears our prayers. We're thankful that He answers our prayers. Now show me a grumbling, complaining, unhappy person and I will show you an unthankful, selfish person. Because that's the attitude of the heart. What comes out of the heart is what comes out of the mouth. And this is a dangerous place to find yourself. In Jude 16, he's talking about the apostate church, and he says this, these are grumblers and complainers. They're walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. There's not a thankful heart there. It's a greedy heart. It's one who wants to be someone who stirs up trouble. We see that in our culture today. We see people that are grumbling and complaining about their lives, about their whatever's going on in their lives, and they're walking according to their own lusts. And that lust can never be fed. And I can tell you this right now, if the country concedes to the rhetoric that's going on and all this stuff going on in the country, if it continues to concede, there will never be enough. Their lust for more, their lust for more attention, the lust for more power, the lust for more whatever it is, will never be met because it's flesh. And in the church, we're called to die to our flesh. It doesn't matter what your culture, it doesn't matter what your race, it doesn't matter what church you go to. If the Word of God is not being taught, if the love of Jesus is not being taught, but rhetoric is being spoken inside the walls of a church, then we've got a problem. We need to be laying all of that stuff down. And I don't care, again, what culture, what race you are, and what you come from, the heart of the individual, we're the church. And if our heart is bitter, then it's going to come out and it's going to affect others. What does the word say? Let not bitterness spring up in your heart, or the seed of bitterness spring up in your heart, because it will take root, it will grow, and it will what? Defile many. not just your own anger, your own bitterness, your own frustration. It will defile many. So we have to be careful when we're going to the Lord in prayer. One of the first things we need to do as we're praising and worshiping is pray as David did. Lord, search my heart, O God, and find if there's any wicked way within me. And then he prayed again and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and place that steadfast spirit within me. David knew that in his flesh, and he has plenty of flesh to prove it, you can miss it. You can find yourself at opposite with God because of the attitude of your heart. Now, corporate prayer is important, and it's also very effective. But looking in our text here this morning, we can see here that our audience that is around us is not who we're praying to. We're not to impress others that might hear our prayers. And, you know, I was sharing with this with Bobby the other day, you know, and you guys know and you'll laugh about it. I get my words backwards all the time. God keeps me humble because I can't even get my tongue untied half the time. And that's a good thing for me, because I know if I got too much going, then I'd start wanting to perform. That's something I had to die to. Performance mode. When I had a guitar or a banjo in my hand growing when I was younger growing up, that was where I felt accepted for that brief time in my life. And that became a safety zone. And then it got older. I wanted to play. I wanted to sing. I wanted to be in front of people and performed and did a lot of that. And God has shown me, when he called me to pastor the church, he said, performance goes out the window. I'm not interested in how well you preach. Because what I do is nothing. It's the Holy Spirit that does it through me. And if it's a word that registers in your heart, it's from him, not from me. I just want to be a willing vessel. And so that's what we have to come to. We have to come to that point to understand that we can get into presentation mode if we're not carefully. Or if we're not careful. When we pray corporately, we need not to worry about those around us. What are they thinking? How are they reacting? Or what are they doing? You know, I'll pray with one eye open. See what kind of response I'm getting. We're not there to impress anybody in corporate prayer. When I was young, I went to church where they taught from the King James Version Bible, which I have no problem with that. I mean, I love the King James. I study it and quote it. We use that a lot. The New King James is easier for people to follow. We teach from the New King James. There are some that old King James only, and hallelujah to them. I'm not going to get into that fight. But what I didn't understand was when I heard the people around us praying, they all prayed in King James lingo. O Lord, thou knowest all things, and I thanketh thee that thou hast heareth me. They add an EST or an ETH at the end of a lot of the words, because that's the way that they were taught out of the Bible, so therefore they thought in order to communicate with God, we have to say it that way. We have to be reverent. And our speakest needed to be rightest before the Lordest. Now, I'm really not trying to make fun, but this was coming from the Bible Belt in the South. They ain't nobody talk like that around here. God's not impressed with impressive speech, and particularly not when we're praying. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, Paul was talking about speaking and sharing the gospel. And he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, this is Paul's attitude when he's preaching the gospel. He's going out and he's just putting it out there. He's not trying to impress anybody or persuade anybody. He understands, and if we read the scriptures, we understand that it's the Holy Spirit that will convict the heart of man. It's not our impressive way we present the gospel, nor how we pray for somebody to receive it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it, because that person's heart is ready. We don't know when that's going to be. You know, we can talk about this where sometimes the one that pushes the hardest against you when you're preaching and teaching is the very one that God is going to raise up in ministry. Tony shared that earlier this morning regarding a Bible study. He leads a Bible study, or has for many, many years, over at the homeless shelter here, the Hope House. But with COVID, they wouldn't let him come in, so he asked somebody else to do it. And they was the very one that pushed against him and fought against him. But he took up that mantle and has been doing it every day because God called him to do it. And so, you know, the ones that sometimes push the hardest back are the ones the Holy Spirit's dealing with the most. So we got to be careful that we're not saying, well, that person, oh yeah, that person looks like they're ready. Or that person will never be ready. Who are we? Who are we to label a heart of a person based on their appearance or based on their who they are in society or anything like that? It's nothing to do with that. Paul was obedient to God. Go, preach to the Gentiles. Paul's heart was for the Jews. He wanted to go to the Jews. He was determined to go back to the Jews. But God sent him to the Gentiles. That's where his primary ministry was, because God knew that the word had to be taught. Paul went out in obedience, and he declared the gospel in a simple form. And if Paul understood that we can't preach the gospel to men with impressive speech, how much more we can't pray to the Lord with impressive and repetitive words? They mean nothing. And as I said earlier, prayer is a conversation with God. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be sincere in that conversation, whether alone or whether we're in a group setting. We're to be real with God. And another aspect of this is not to elevate your speech in groups to try to generate a moment of excitement. And we've seen that happen. It's like the, if we can get the beat just right, and we can repeat the phrase over and over, and then we elevate the speech a little bit and gets a little bit louder. And if you got a drum, that really works. You get that beat going and you start pounding, and next thing you know, it goes. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit won't move in that, but I'm saying that if it happens, it better be the Holy Spirit. It better not be your flesh, because the flesh can try to generate something or recreate something that the Holy Spirit did, and the flesh wants to see it again. They want the experience rather than they want the giver of the experience. And that itself is not what God wants us to do. We're not to try to create a moment of excitement. And I have seen, again, groups that mean well, but as they pray, the words and their tone changes. I've seen it in worship settings, and the stage is set to build up to an emotional high. And I've been at churches in the past where they were disappointed if the emotional high didn't reach the level they thought it was supposed to reach. Oh, I'm disappointed. Well, why are you upset? Well, we didn't have a barn burner. And at that time, I didn't know what they meant. And I said, what does that mean? Oh, where everybody's running around and speaking in tongues, and everybody's doing this, and everybody's doing that. We didn't have that. Does that mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there? Does that mean the Holy Spirit didn't move? Or does that mean that that's your expectations leveled up to where you think it's supposed to be in order for the Spirit to move? Let me tell you something. God is moving right now. His Spirit is speaking to souls and to hearts right now. It may not be through this message. It may be somebody reading the Word. It may be somebody just sharing it on the corner. It may be another church. It may be anywhere, but it's God doing the work. And it may be a real quiet moment. It may not be a hoopla. So these are the things that we need to keep in mind as we're going through that. Things can intensify and everybody works up into a frenzy. And, you know, I've said this before, and I mean this from my heart. I would rather err on the side of caution than on the side of confusion. And so we want to keep our eyes on what God is doing, not on what we think He should do or how it should look or how it's supposed to be. And this may get people excited, and it may even get some people to the altar, but an emotional experience can't sustain them. When Elijah fled from Jezebel, now he was on an emotional high right before that. He was on the mountaintop, and he called fire from heaven, and it burned up a saturated altar and saturated bulls and everything on that altar. I mean, it was soaked so bad you couldn't strike a match within a mile of it and get it to go off. And he called on those prophets of Baal, come on, get your God to bring fire down. He taunted them. Maybe he's sleeping. They couldn't get fire to come down, cutting themselves, running around. Then he said, God, reveal yourself to these people. Fire fell from heaven, burnt that altar, consumed everything on it, dried it up. And he had 400 prophets of Baal killed right then and right there. And the next thing we see, he's running from Jezebel. You can't live on the mountaintop. And many times when you're on the mountaintop, the next morning you're in the valley, and that's when the enemy, it puts the fear and the anxiety and wants to try to tear you down. And so he ran. He took off running. And this is part of this story here. He wound up in a cave. In 1 Kings 19:9-3, we read, "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left.'" Now, does this kind of sound like a little whining in a way? He just had 400 prophets killed of Baal. He just had fire come down. And now he's saying, "I'm the only one. And they seek to kill me." And so God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" And they had this conversation. You can go read that in 1 Kings chapter 19 and see the rest of the story. But what we see here is that Elijah was at a low point. God demonstrated all of these things, but he said, "Look, these big powerful things, I'm not in that right now. These events, I'm not in that. I want you to be quiet. I want you to listen for the still small voice." So rather than calling fire down on every prayer meeting or raising our voices and repeating the same phrases over and over again, trying to recreate an experience from God, we need to speak less and listen more. Speak less and listen more. And if we're too busy talking, how can we hear? If the music's loud and it's pounding our ears, and people are repeating themselves over and over and over and over and over and over, God wanting to get a word in there somewhere. But you got to be quiet sometimes to listen. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to receive my reward from man because I can pray with the best of them. And I can get louder with the rest of them. I want to receive my reward because God is all that matters. And in my prayer, I'm addressing Him, not man. Now, in that time, and I want to make myself clear here, the power of the Holy Spirit will come. And the power of the Holy Spirit will use however He sees fit. And if He gives you a word of knowledge, if He gives you a word of wisdom, a prophecy, and He tells you to speak it forth, then you need to be obedient. But you don't need to be saying, if you don't get that word of prophecy or you don't hear a tongue and an interpretation, the Holy Spirit wasn't there. That is not true. The Holy Spirit is always present when the hearts of man are in tune to Him. Excuse me. Abraham Lincoln or Mark Twain, this has been attributed to both of them, used this proverb, and this is not in the Bible, by the way. "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." Now, Proverbs 17:27-28 does say this: "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even if a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, when he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive." We have to be careful, and again, there are times when the Holy Spirit moves, and there are things, there's more excitement that's generated, but the excitement comes in response to the Holy Spirit, not trying to get Him to do something. And there's a difference. There's a difference. There's the side that's the works before the Spirit or before faith, and then you have the works because of faith. And our faith in God, the works will be generated according to Him, and the words will be spoken according to Him, but we need to make sure that we're not bringing attention to ourselves. Not about us. Jesus, I don't know exactly what He looked like. I mean, there's all kinds of pictures of Him, but we don't know what Jesus looked like, but I don't think He was very handsome. A man of no recognition and no really report. He just did what God the Father told Him to do. That was His entire purpose. As He taught, He said, I do as the Father tells me to do. Not my will, I do His will. He did that all the way up to the point of death at the cross in Gethsemane. He came to the Father. This was the humanity. This was the human side of Jesus. If there's any other way, Father, take this cup from me. But if not, not my will, but Your will be done. That's the heart of a believer. That's what God is wanting in our hearts. He's not wanting us running around doing things. He wants the heart first, and let Him mold the heart. Let Him change the heart. Let Him speak to the heart. And then what He speaks in, He will tell you to speak out. But sometimes He will give you a word and He tells you, now keep it to yourself. That's a challenge for a man. Especially if it's a word about somebody where the Lord said, this person is struggling with this. You need to pray for them. But don't go to them. Now, there are times when He'll tell you to, and He will speak specifically, you need to go and share this word. Then you're obedient to that when you do. But there's other times when He will say, this person's struggling. You need to be in prayer with them and be available for when the time is right. I'm going to let you share this. But they're not ready to hear it yet. See, all of this falls under the aspect of our relationship with God and our ability to want to listen and desire to listen rather than to speak. And we've had this conversation. This is something I've struggled with all of my life that the Lord has continued to have to deal with me on. And that is having these conversations in my head and planning them all out before I even have it with the person. Well, if they say this, I know what I'm going to say. If they say that, I know exactly what I'm going to say. Lord, thank You for giving me the wisdom to handle this situation. But if we take a minute, the Lord said, real wisdom is just go and let Me do a work and don't plan what you're going to say. What did He tell the disciples? He said, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hauled into court. You're going to be challenged, but do not fear, because when you speak, it will not be you that speaks. It will be the Holy Spirit that speaks through you. That's what we want. That's the relationship that God's calling us to. So as we move forward, and I've shared this before, you know, I believe right as this year came on, I told you again, and every time God tells me this, I don't know what it means until it starts happening, but change is coming. And I've shared that with you. I don't mean how many times. I'm just telling you, God's bringing change. And that change may not look what we might think we want, but it's what He wants. So are we going to be obedient to it, or are we going to try to go find our comfort zone somewhere else? We're going to be moving into this community. God didn't place us here to be a little small building or a little small rental space here so people can pass by and see the sign during the week. We're to be a light into a dark world, not a light unto ourselves. And so as we move forward, And I'm going to be working more and more with Bobby and with Wesley and some other guys that he's putting together. He's putting together, they call their place the hub. Well, at the hub, he's putting together guys that are willing to come and pray and seek His direction and put our agendas aside and say, okay, Lord, we want to go forward. And now I'm hearing this. I'm really hearing this in my heart. And I think Bobby will say the same thing. God is saying, okay, you've prayed. I've heard your prayer. Now go. And He's going to give us these opportunities. He's opening doors, and He's going to get us out there to spread the word. This week, We're going to be setting up a small tent, and I don't know what's going to come of this. We may set it up, and it be completely told to take it down. But we're going to set up a prayer tent up at the courthouse. Don't know what day, but it'll be during business hours. And we're just going to be praying. And if people come up and they want prayer, we're going to pray for them. We're not going to preach at them. We're not bringing a band and a worship team. We're just being there. Whatever God uses in that, fine. I feel like that's what he's calling us to do. Now, I don't know if it'll be a one-time thing or an ongoing thing, but I do know that it's going to happen. I was talking to Johnny, our worship leader, this morning, and I was telling him, I said, you know, I really want us to look at possibly investing in a smaller sound system that we can take portable out and start doing things. And he brought to my attention, he said, there's a music truck, a band truck or whatever. It's got all the stuff in it we can have access to. We may have to rent it. But we'll find out how to get a hold of that, and we can drive that around and set up in any parking lot we want to set up in, if that's where God tells us to go, in any neighborhood, if that's where he tells us to go, and just worship the Lord and pray and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. That's all we want to do. We want to go out with no fleshly agenda, but a powerful Holy Spirit agenda that we say his will be done, and we want to be obedient. And I want you guys to be a part of that. For whatever you feel you can. If you can't go out, that's fine. Be in prayer with us. Keep in touch with us so we can let you know what's happening, how it's going on. Now, with that said, I want to mention this too. We're going to have another way of communication to the body coming up, and it will probably start as early as, it may be next week, but Norman's investigating and he's reading up on it. But it's a texting service that's not like what we do now. It's not a texting thing that you send out a text and then everybody gets it and everybody starts responding. That can get overwhelming. What this will be is it will be a group text, and you need to let us know if you don't want to be in it. The reason we want to do this is because many people, we send out emails and they may not see the email for the whole day or a day or two. And they may miss something that we want you to pray about or miss something that God told us to do. So it's a texting service that we're signing up for. It's free. And it will be done similar to like an email blast. It will be blasted to all the people who their contact number's in there. But you don't respond back to it. And if you do, it will only come back to Norman, which will be coming back to me if there's any response to it. But that way, it's more for announcement, for prayer request, more instant information you can have. But then you get it, and you're moving on, you know, and it can be distracting if it's just regular text. So we want to do that, and so I want you to keep that in mind. If indeed God is calling you to get that, we want you to make sure that you don't take yourself out of it. But you will have the option to do that, to say no, don't send me the text. That's fine. But just be aware that that's coming, because we want to make sure we get the information in people's hands. And more every day, it's all about that phone. I hate it, but it's the world we live in. You know, I dread it. I was the last one in the group when bag phones came out back in the 80s, I guess. I was the last one to get one. I wanted my beeper as long as I could hold on to it. But didn't even want the beeper, but had to get that. Then I had to get the bag phone. Then I had to get the flip phone. And boy, do I miss the flip phone. Oh, I missed the flip phone. Because I could just, it never went off except a phone. Now I'm just going off buzzing and hissing and vibrating and ringing. And I'm like, what? And I have to look at it. You can't not. You can't not look at it. You can try your best if your phone buzzes to not pick it up and look at it. I've seen you do it in church. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a temptation. I wish we could just have a season to turn them off, but the world we live in won't allow it to happen. And we need to have communication, and this is the way we're doing it, especially during this time of COVID. So with that being said, just keep in mind that we want to have our hearts right with God. We want to have sincerity, not show. We want to have our hearts hearing and listening and then moving in accordance to his will. And it's in our prayer time. It's in our giving, in our charitable time. It's in our walking, wherever he's called us to do in our ministry. It's all about him. It's not about us. Let's keep that in mind so that our hearts will be ready. When he says go, we say yes, because we're listening. Not, well, can I get back to you, Lord? I got this to do. I got that to do. I don't want to do it. Or I want to do it my way. Put all that aside. That's dying to self. That's dying to the flesh. And just coming to the Father, your will, not mine. And so, Father, we come to you this morning. We submit these things to you. We know that our flesh always raises its ugly head, and it can mess up more things and more spiritual things of God. Our flesh can get in the way and mess it all up, thinking we're doing something for you, and ultimately it's doing it for ourselves. So we put all that down, and we come with a humble heart, because I don't want to have to be humbled by you, because that hurts. I want to be willing to die now and say, not my will, but your will, rather than having to have that beat upon me because I wasn't listening. But Lord, whatever you have to do, I pray you will do in myself, in this body, and in the body of Christ as a whole, the bride of Christ. Lord, I pray that you will effectively do what you want to do in order to get us prepared to minister in these dark times, because this stuff is not going away. We live in a sinful world. We live in a dark world. And because of that, sin will affect people, all people it will affect. It affects us in circumstance, not in spirit. But if we're not careful, we submit and succumb to the circumstances rather than submitting to the Spirit of God. And we find ourselves grumbling, complaining, restless, anxious. Lord, that's not your spirit. You didn't give us the spirit of fear and anxiety. You gave us the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. So we listen, we wait, but we're also, we want to be ready. And right now, this day, Lord, I commit my soul unto you, my spirit unto you, my flesh unto you, all that I am. I lay it at your feet and say, Lord, I'm ready. And I know you're ready to say go. And so we're going to do it, Lord. We're going to move forward as you say fit. So thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your spirit. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what we see with our eyes, you're still sitting at the right hand of the Father. You're interceding for us to the Father. And we want to be submitted to you. We want to be walking in that. And we love you. And we choose you over this world. We choose you over ourselves. And we come as a thankful people, a needy people, dependent people, and thankful people. We love you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen and amen.